The losses and shock of the First World War found their way deep into the culture of the years that followed. The scale of the war was simply incomprehensible. Even during the war, off the battlefields, people were reeling with a sense of disaster. Some gathered in Zurich, which, due to Switzerland's neutrality, had become a refuge for thinkers, artists, and politicians. It was a time for manifestos and cultural movements, and avant-garde poetry, in some cases. One group had its headquarters in a nightclub called the Cabaret Voltaire. Hugo Ball, a saloon piano player and author, was at the center of the group. We're told the movement called Dada was created December 5, 1916. It started as a cabaret act. Richard Hulzenbeck and Hugo Ball were searching for a stage name for a young woman who was to join them.
A few days before she was supposed to come to the cabaret, I went with him through the Larousse encyclopedia, and there I found the word Dada.
Hulzenbeck reflected on Dada's origins in 1959.
So I said to Ball, why not Dada? And he said, Dada is wooden horse or toy in French.
Turned out the young woman never did show up at the cabaret, but they liked the name, so they kept it.
The word Dada had a kind of a magical attraction, and from now on, we called many of our activities Dada.
What was it, exactly?
We didn't know exactly against whom we should turn, but it was very important for us to find a target for our resentment. And we had this great hostility, which we had turned first against the war and against the imperial regime, but finally, we generalized in such a way that we attacked conventionalism. The bourgeois was one of our main targets. So I found out what is the bourgeois, and I made the sad discovery that we were all bourgeois. So what was the use to attack the bourgeois when I was a bourgeois myself?
If nothing else, they wanted it to be senseless.
The irrationality of this movement was its essential factor.
The Dadaists were not only interested in nonsense, says the Museum of Modern Art's Anne Temkin, they also embraced the idea of chance in art.
Which would include scattering a bunch of torn papers on a surface, as, say, an artist like Hans Arp would do, and gluing them down where they fell. And that idea of chance as a compositional method absolutely remains strong today, 100 years later.
Marcel Duchamp said later, even though your brain might say, there's no such thing as chance, I know what's going to happen, you had to let go of that kind of thinking.
So it's a kind of adoration for chance, or the consideration of chance as a almost a religious element. So it's very interesting to have introduced, to put it at the service of art production.
And Dada embraced contradictions. Tristan Zara of the Dada group said, in principle, I am against principles. Later, some of the Dadaists got together with the painter Fernand Léger to create the legendary Ballet Mécanique, a silent film with bold editing and shattering juxtapositions, using some violent modernist imagery in response to all that had happened. Léger had been injured as a soldier in World War I. He was especially horrified as he lay ill, listening to the battles play out. He wrote in Letters from the Front about his acoustic fear as he heard artillery fire and detonating shells. It all found its way into that film, says author Philip Blum.
Ballet Mécanique is almost a sort of first wave reaction because, you see, it's the fragmentation of human bodies. It's the mechanical aspect of human bodies. It's the repetitiveness and the meaninglessness. You can see how that in many ways looks at the experience of shell shock.
American composer George Antheil wrote an original score with the same title. For airplane propellers, buzzers, various electronic devices and instruments. The highly passionate and influential Dada movement soon turned in another direction, observed the droll and worldly Marcel Duchamp in a TV interview.
When they got, of course, as usual, a group of people don't get together very long. 2 years or 3 years of it was enough, and they began fighting together. They hated each other. So they dispersed and became another group from itself on the ashes of Dada to become the Surrealism.
But speaking of Duchamp, don't forget 1919 was also the year he drew a mustache on a postcard of the Mona Lisa and embellished the image with the letters L-H-O-O-Q, quite a racy French phrase, suggesting that beneath her enigmatic facade, the Mona Lisa was in a state of overheated desire.
That Dada attack on high art was in some ways actually a life jacket sent out to art.
And Temkin suggests that even 100 years ago, let alone now, the Mona Lisa had already become the equivalent of a poster or a cliché, an eye-rollingly familiar image, now made eye-opening.
By making fun of her, giving her facial hair, making her seem like a racy woman, in a way you could say that rescued the Mona Lisa by defamiliarizing her, by making you blink and do a double take.
Classic Dada, the takedown of high art. It all sounds very clever and lighthearted. The photographer Man Ray, part of the group, thought otherwise when he was interviewed in 1972.
I always have the feeling that the 20s and the 30s and the Dada movement and the Surrealist movement, it was a great deal of fun.
No, not at the time. People just look back to it and think it's a marvelous period, romantic and all that sort. But no, it was very tense. It was very bitter, and there was no humor in it. But what we did was really to upset things, you know. But subconsciously to clear the way for something new, which we didn't know yet what it might be.
As far as I can think of, the Dadaists were the ones who did the most confrontational portrayal of what had happened to civil society in the wartime.
The not knowing quite what they were doing, that was part of it. They wanted to say something, even if it was nothing. It was modern and it was urgent, and it was only the beginning of the way the culture responded to World War I. It's Fishko Files. I'm Sarah Fishko. But before you go, I wanted to let you know I'll be hosting a related live event in WNYC's The Green Space on Varick Street Thursday, November 7th. So if you're in New York City, come over for a lively time with guests, images, and audio, and even a pianist. That's November 7th at 7 p.m., Shellshock 1919, How the Great War Changed Culture. For information and tickets, go to wnyc.org/thegreenspace.